So we're on Srimad Bhagavatam 6:16, text number 48 to 50. So it says on the board. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16, Verse 48. This particular verse doesn't have a purport, nor does 49, but we'll chant 50 together. So I'll chant the first two verses. Yam vai svasantam anu vishvasri jaha svasanti yam chakitanam anu chittaya uchakanti bhumandalam sarsapanti sarsapayati yashamurdini tasmai namo bhagavate stu sahasramurdine. My dear Lord, it is after you endeavor that Lord Brahma, Indra, and the other directors of the cosmic manifestation become occupied with their activities. It is after you perceive the material energy, my Lord, that the senses begin to perceive. The Supreme Personality of Godhead holds all the universes on his heads like seeds of mustard. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has thousands of hoods. Text number 49. Sri Suka Uvacha Samstuto Bhagavan Evam Anantastam Abhasata Vidyadara Patimpritas Chitraketum Krudvaha. Sukadeva Goswami continued, my Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anantadev, being very much pleased with the prayers offered by Chitraketu, the king of the Vijayadaras, replied to him as follows. O best of the Kuru dynasty, Maharaj Parikshit. So today's verse, text number 50. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Yan Naradangiro Bhyam Te Vyaritam me nusasanam samsidho si taya rajan vidyaya darshanach cha me Sri Bhagavan uvacha yanaradan giri Boyam te Vyaritam me nusasanam Samsidho sitaya rajan Vidyaya darshanachchame Sri Bhagavan uvacha Yanara dangiro bhyam te Vyaritam me nanusasanam Samsidho sitaya rajan Vidyaya darshanachchame Sri Bhagavan uvacha Yanardadan giro bhyam te Vyaritam me nanusasanam Samsidho sitaya rajan Vidyaya darshanachchame Vaishnavis. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sankarshan, replied. Yat, which, Narada Angirobhyam, by the great sages Narada and Angira, te, unto you, Vyaritam, spoken, me, of me, Anusasanam, the worship, Samsidha, completely perfected, Asi, you are, Taya, by that, Rajan, O King, Vidyaya, mantra, Darshanat, from the direct sight, Cha, as well as, Me, of me. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anantadev, replied as follows. O King, as a result of your having accepted the instructions spoken about me by the great sages Narada and Angira, you have become completely aware of transcendental knowledge. Because you are now educated in the spiritual science, you have seen me face to face. Therefore, you are now completely perfect. Please repeat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anantadev, replied as follows. O King, as a result of your having accepted the instructions spoken about me by the great sages Narada and Angira, you have become completely aware of transcendental knowledge. Because you are now educated in the spiritual science, you have seen me face to face. Therefore, you are now completely perfect. Purport. The perfection of life is to be spiritually educated and to understand the existence of the Lord and how He creates, maintains, and annihilates the cosmic manifestation. When one is perfect in knowledge, he can develop his love of Godhead through the association of such perfect persons as Narada and Angira and the members of their disciplic succession. Then one is able to see the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Although the Lord is unlimited, by His causeless mercy, He becomes visible to the devotee, who is then able to see Him. In our present position of conditioned life, we cannot see or understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atā śrī Kṛṣṇa namādi nābhaved grāyam indriya sevan mukhehi jivādu svayam eva spurāti adaha. No one can understand the transcendental nature of my name, form, quality, and pastimes of Sri Krishna through his materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord are the transcendental name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. That's from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.234. If one takes to spiritual life under the direction of Narada Muni or his representative and thus engages himself in the service of the Lord, he qualifies himself to see the Lord face to face. The Brahma Samhita 5.38 states, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santasadaiva Hrideshu Vilokayanti Yam Shamasundarama Chintaguna Swarupam Govinda Madhipurusham Tamaham Vajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotee, whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form of Shamasundar, situated within the heart of the devotee. One must follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Thus, one becomes qualified and later sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead as evinced by Maharaj Chitraketu. Om Gyanant Manandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmilitam Yena Tasmaya Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadanti Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastari Guru Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama 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 Hari Hari Vanchakopa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the verses again. We just finished the prayers by King Chitraketu. So we're kind of at a junction point here. So this is the last prayer that he says. My dear Lord, it is after you endeavor that Lord Brahma, Indra, and the other directors of the cosmic manifestation become occupied with their activities. It is after you perceive the material energy, my Lord, that the senses begin to perceive. The Supreme Personality of Godhead holds all the universes on his heads like seeds of mustard. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, that Supreme Personality who has thousands of hoods. And then Sukadeva Goswami continues his narration to King Parikshit. The Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ananta Dev, being very much pleased with the prayers offered by Chitraketu, the king of the Vidyadharas, replied to him as follows. O best of the Kuru dynasty, Maharaj Parikshit. And then here the Supreme Lord, Ananta Dev, replying as follows. O king, as a result of your having accepted the instructions spoken about me by the great sages Narada and Angira, you have become completely aware of the transcendental knowledge. Because you are now educated in the spiritual science, you have seen me face to face. Therefore, you are now completely perfect. So it's a really important point in this junction point. We're seeing here the enlightened devotee expressing himself and glorifying the Lord. And we see the devotees all throughout the Bhagavatam, they seem to know everything about the universe, about its creation, about the living entity, you know, all these things he seems to know. He has complete knowledge. And he's explaining here how one can get that and perfect his life by the blessings of the Vaishnavas, by the authorities, and following their instructions completely, then one is able to attain the ultimate goal of life, is to see the Supreme Personality of God face to face. So not only does he see everything in this material universe, this world, understands everything, but he actually will be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these prayers, they have full knowledge of everything. And this is, we're going to analyze how that is. In this particular chapter, we were very fortunate to have transcendental instructions given four times by the mercy of the devotees. First, it was Narada Muni and Angira in the previous chapters. But in this chapter, by the mystic power of Narada Muni, he was able to bring that living entity that died, the so-called son of the king, Chitraketu, back to life. And he had transcendental knowledge too. And he He instructed, you know, everyone there to their astonishment. And there he flatly denied that Maharaj Chitraketu and his wife were his father and mother. He described how the living entity's relationship with his body and so-called mother, you know, father, they're just false and illusory conceptions. And these will continue as long as one is not enlightened about the situation of the spirit soul. So explain that. And we see throughout history and even in our own time, there's great personalities have come. And there's this nice passage that was quoted about Jesus. And there was one time when he was, you know, speaking to a crowd in near his home, and his mother and brothers came, and they're standing outside the house where he was. And they sent a message to him, calling him, you know, so the people in the crowd said, hey, your mother and your brothers are outside, and they're asking for you. And what did Jesus say? Who are my brothers and my mother? And looking around on those who sat about him, he said, here are my brothers, my mother, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and my sister and my mother. So we can see all around us, this is our true relationship, our true mothers, our true brothers, sisters. Here, those who are doing the will of God. The will of God is given to us as described in this verse by the spiritual master and instructs us in the spiritual science so that we'll become enlightened and ultimately see the Lord face to face. And what were the result of this living entity's instructions that came back to life? That all the relatives that were there, they easily gave up affection that leads to disillusion, lamentation, fear, and pain. And this is very difficult to give up, this affection. But they easily gave it up. And not only that, but King Chitraketu, he was enlightened, you know, by the instructions of the brahmanas also. And he came out of this dark well, as described, of family life. And then the living entity explained how the Atma, you know, there's the Atma by A Atma, that's the Supreme Lord, and then there's us, the Atma, the small A, that we're actually a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and we possess the same qualities as he has in minuteness. So he's saying that we should not be affected by this lamentation, these distinctions of mine and yours, friends and enemies, well-wishers, mischief-mongers. But the living entity is only an observer. He's a witness of these things. Because the spirit soul is completely distinct from all these different things that we see going on in the relative world. So in this way, he enlightened everybody there. And everyone was astonished. And then after he left again, then Narada Muni enlightens us in this chapter with this wonderful mantra that he gives to Chitraketu and says, if you chant this, then you will actually see the Supreme Lord within 7 days. And he glorified the Almighty. This is Narada Muni. He glorified the Almighty who has a body which is full of knowledge. And we have these material bodies, which is due to lack of this knowledge. So this is ignorance. And he praised him as the Supreme Lord is transcendental to the waves of material nature, how he has unlimited expansions of forms, and they're entirely spiritual. And he explained how the cosmic manifestation is caused, and how it's situated, and how it's ultimately annihilated by the Supreme Lord. And how the Supreme Lord is the reservoir of everything. He's not only the seer, as we saw in this, and nobody can see unless he sees, how the Supreme Lord is not only the seer, or he's the only seer, he's the only worker, he's the only listener, and is the only active principle. In other words, he's the supreme controller of everything. So this is the prayer that Narada Muni gave to King Chitraketu. And then after he very you know, submissively and obediently prayed very sincerely to the Lord this prayer 7 times, 7 days, then he became enlightened. And he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. And when he saw him, he was cleansed of all material contamination and he was situated in Krishna consciousness. So then we get some wonderful prayers from King Chitraketu, very enlightened. So we get enlightened again from another devotee. And he describes the Lord as unconquerable. But yet, you're certainly conquered by your devotees. In fact, you give yourself to them by giving them all opportunities for service. So in the same way, we are given all kinds of opportunities for service as sincere devotees. This is how Krishna gives himself to you. He described the cosmic manifestation. Here again, the devotee, he knows everything. He described the creation, maintenance, the annihilation, and how they're just your opulences. He described the demigods, how they're just but small portions of the Supreme Lord, and how they think they're separate lords, and how they're so false with their false prestigious position. And those who worship them, these demigods, they're considered to be like animals. So he's describing all this. And then he goes on and says, those who describe your glories, though, even though they may have material desires, they associate with you in transcendence and they escape the conditions of this material nature. And then he goes on to describe Bhagavad Dharma, how this religion is the ultimate religion. It's non-envious. It's an uncontaminated religious system. And then he compares that to low-class religions who are just full of envy and irreligion. And he described how Krishna, he's so wonderful that he gave our occupational duties in these transcendental literatures, the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, to attain the ultimate goal of life. And by performing this bhakti yoga, according to the instructions of authorities, then we'll get the actual result. And Prabhupada describes how this Krishna consciousness movement is authorized and how we're bringing deity worship. And by doing service to the deities, we've been granted personal service to Krishna. We get the same result that one achieves from serving the Lord personally. So this was the instructions given by King Chitraketu, and the Lord Anantadeva was so pleased by his prayers and he glorified him, because you are now educated in the spiritual science that was given to you by authorities. So now you can see me face to face. So then Lord Anantadeva talks about his transcendental sound and his deity form are not material, and how these are two special forms, special things that the Lord has for us. And how he said this Vedic knowledge, how we can attain this Vedic knowledge, which begins with the transcendental sound Omkara, which is none different than the Hare Krishna Ma mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. It's actually none different from the Lord himself. And then the Lord goes on to describe how these different states of consciousness, like deep sleep, dreaming, wakefulness, they're energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he actually causes them. But yet he's unaffected by them. And then he describes something very interesting, how the knower and the quality of knowing, they belong to the living entity and the super soul. So we're both a knower, and we're the knower and the quality of knowing. That is actually our quality, because we're part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. So this knower is qualitatively one with the Supreme Brahman. So in knowledge, the living entity is qualitatively one with the Supreme Brahman. So if we have complete knowledge, then we're qualitatively one. And we see this conditioned life of the living entity begins when he thinks himself different from Krishna. He forgets his spiritual identity of qualitative oneness. we're actually qualitatively one with him in knowledge, eternity, and bliss. These are the three aspects of the soul and the living entity, and the spiritual and the Supreme Lord himself. The opposite of this is that tamah, it's ignorance. And this is the mature world. And he described how human perfection is attained through self-realization, which is repeating again the same thing in this verse. This self-realization that we get through the Vedic literatures and its practical application. So by devotional service, we can achieve the highest goal of life with freedom from miserable conditions. And compare that to the great trouble we're found in fruitive activities, which is full of reverses. Example after example throughout the Bhagavatam, everyone, they get so attached to these material desires and fruitive activities. But what happens? The exact opposite. And this is what happens in the material world. So the Lord is telling him, with strength of discrimination, give up these fruitive activities. Become experienced in transcendental knowledge, you'll become a devotee. We should expertly observe, as the living entity was giving us instructions. He says, we are simply an observer, a witness. So the Supreme Lord is saying, expertly observe the Supreme Absolute Person and the living entity who are in quality in their relationship with the whole. They're in quality. They're one in quality in their relationship as part and whole. So this is what we should see, how we're qualitatively one with the Lord as part and whole. And he says, this is the ultimate understanding of life. There's no better, there's no truth better than this. So he's encouraging him, be unattached to this material enjoyment and adhere to me with great faith and become proficient and fully aware of knowledge and its practical application in life, and you will achieve me. So this is encouragement we get from the Supreme Lord and how we could attain this knowledge, which is our natural state. We're full of knowledge, we're full of eternity, and we're full of bliss. These are the same qualities as the Supreme Lord. And because we are one in quality in our relationship as part and whole of the Supreme Lord, we have no reason to lament or identify with so many reversals and so many things of this material world. And there's another story that this is similar to an incident in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto. There was a great king. There's this king, his name is Bahulashva, and he's a very wealthy king, very, you know, opulent. And then there's this poor Brahmin, Sahadev. And it didn't matter what their material positions were, but they were both pure devotees of Krishna. And in the same way, they offered prayers to Krishna, explaining how, you know, how the universes are and so many things, just full knowledge. And they gave some very short prayers. I'll just read a few here. And this is what the king said. O Almighty Lord, you are the soul of all created beings, their self-illumined witness. And now you are giving your audience to us, who constantly meditate on your lotus feet. So in the same ways, they're saying similar things as we're discussing here. You have said, neither Ananta, goddess Shri, nor unborn Brahma is dearer to me than my unalloyed devotee. To prove your own words true, you have now revealed yourself to our eyes. So see, he's very dear to us, and to prove that, he reveals himself. What person who knows this truth would ever abandon your lotus feet? When you are ready to give your very self to peaceful sages who call nothing their own. So just summarizing so much, it's just so deep, these prayers, how this whole chapter is practically summarized in just a few prayers. Appearing in the Yadu dynasty, you have spread your glories, which can remove all the sins of the three worlds, just to deliver those entrapped in the cycle of birth and death. So then there's Sahadev, and he's wondering to himself, how is it that I'm fallen in a blind well of family life, and, you know, I'm poverty stricken and can't even think, how is it that I'm able to meet Lord Krishna. You know, and these great brahmanas who carry the Lord within their hearts. In fact, their dust is like the shelter of all the holy places. So these are the wonderful prayers by Sahadev. I like to read those. And let's see here. Actually, Shrutadev, I'm sorry, his name is Shrutadev. So Shrutadev said, "It is not that we have attained your audience of the Supreme Person only today, for we have in fact been associated with him ever since he created this universe with his energies and then entered it in his transcendental form." So just see how, as Shrutadev is saying here, actually he's seeing Krishna everywhere. And that's what we were discussing here, how Krishna's energy is expanded everywhere and they're all, you know, himself. And he goes on, "The Lord is like a sleeping person who creates a separate world in his imagination and then enters his own dream and sees himself within it." So it's like we're in Krishna's dream. His dream is not illusion, but we're in illusion in his dream. Thinking that this is we're identifying with that cosmos. "You reveal yourself within the hearts of those persons of pure consciousness who constantly hear about you, chant about you, worship you, glorify you, and converse with one another about you." So again and again, the devotees are saying the same thing. We just have to be absorbed in Krishna. Why be absorbed in material things? So he goes on, "But although you reside within the heart, you are very far away from those whose minds are disturbed by their entanglement in material work. Indeed, no one can grasp you by his material powers, for you reveal yourself only in the hearts of those who have learned to appreciate your transcendental qualities." So this is, "Let me offer my obeisances unto you. You are realized as a supreme soul by those who know the absolute truth. Whereas in your form of time, you impose death upon the forgetful souls. You appear both in your causeless spiritual form and in the created form of this universe, thus simultaneously uncovering the eyes of your devotees and obstructing the vision of the non-devotees." Just see how deep his realization is here. It's amazing. "O Lord, you are the Supreme Soul, and we are your servants. How shall we serve you? My Lord, simply seeing you puts an end to all troubles of human life." We're seeing the Lord here. So after he said his prayers, the Lord Krishna was so pleased with him that he took Shrutadev's hand in his hand. Just imagine talking to the Lord and he comes up to you and he takes your hand. Very nice. And he smiled and he spoke to him as follows. And it's described how, it's like Krishna says, "Yes, you know the truth about me. And I also know all about you. So now I'm going to tell you something special." So he grabs his hand. "Okay, I'm going to tell you something very special." So this is what the Lord says to him. "My dear Brahmana, you should know that these great sages have come here just to bless you. They travel throughout the worlds with me, purifying them with the dust of their feet." So Krishna's taken all this glorification, but yet Krishna's thinking, not only me, you should glorify all these sages too. They come with me, they're powerful, and he glorifies them. "One can gradually become purified by seeing, touching, and worshipping temple deities, places of pilgrimage and holy rivers. But one can attain the same result immediately simply by receiving the glance of exalted sages. By his very birth, a Brahmana is the best of all living beings in this world, and he becomes even more exalted when he's endowed with austerity, learning, and self-satisfaction. What to speak of devotion to me? Even my own four-armed form is no dearer to me than a Brahmana. Within himself, a learned Brahmana comprises all the Vedas. Just as within myself, I comprise all the demigods. So here's this proving the point how we're full of knowledge. Ignorant of this truth, foolish people neglect and enviously offend a learned Brahmana, who being non-different from me, is their spiritual master and very self. They consider worshipable only such obvious manifestations of divinity as my deity form. Because he has realized me, a Brahmana is firmly fixed in the knowledge that everything moving and non-moving in the universe, and also the primary elements of its creation, are all manifest forms expanded from me. Therefore, you should worship these Brahmana sages, O Brahmana, with the same faith you have in me. If you do so, you will worship me directly, which you cannot do otherwise, even by offerings of vast riches. So this is the Lord instructed Shrutadev, who was actually a topmost Brahmin, you know, and he was with there's many Brahmanas accompanying the Lord. So the king, you know, who is very opulent, and the Brahmana, poor Brahmana, they achieved the same destination, you know, going back to Godhead. And then the Lord returned to Dwarka. And then Prabhupada says in the back of the Krishna book to this chapter, he talks about, I'll just end with this last paragraph where Prabhupada says here, Krishna consciousness is the highest perfection by which everyone can come to the platform of a Vaishnava. This includes having all the qualifications of a Brahmana. The Vaishnavas are trained to become freed from the four kinds of sinful activities, illicit sex, indulgence in intoxicants, gambling, and eating animal foodstuffs. No one can be on the Brahminical platform without having these preliminary qualifications, and without becoming a qualified Brahmana, one cannot become a pure devotee. So here, Prabhupada's bringing this point how we have to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And these are the instructions given to us by Srila Prabhupada. And if we follow those instructions, then we'll become perfect Brahmanas, Vaishnavas, and we'll be able to actually see the Lord face to face, just as King Chitraketu and all these other devotees that we mentioned are able to see the Lord. And the process through all these different examples is the same. They're all glorifying the Lord. They're all following instructions of the sages. They're glorifying the sages in that way. So we have that same opportunity here amongst our real family members. Our true brothers and sisters, and mothers and fathers are all here. You know, they're the ones that are actually following the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jai, so thank you for your kind attention. Any comments, questions, realizations? Sorry it's a little late, but the kirtan went over about 10 minutes anyway. So, anyway, yes? No. Okay. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much.